I've lived in Alberta now for 31 years, and I never tire of the scene when driving past Canmore and you're just near the Banff Gates and there is Cascade Mountain. Particularly when it's the summertime, when there's not a cloud in the sky and that mountain just stands there saying, I am here. We know something about rocks in Alberta. I have a friend who's a geologist, and sometimes when hiking with him, I'd say to Gary, so Gary, how old are those rocks? And he'd say, oh, they're young. They're only about 40 million years old. Rocks, they matter. Rocks are beautiful. Rocks are majestic. And indeed, it was when Jesus was with the apostles at the base of Mount Hermon that he had a conversation with them. For near Mount Hermon, there was another rock. And on the top of this rock, there was a temple that had been declared for Tiberius Caesar. Remember the Herod the Great? He wasn't that great. He was really Herod the Terrible, but he thought he was great. And that's the thing with people who are terrible, when they think they're great, well, you know how it can go. But he wasn't great. He was a very bad man, and he had some bad kids as well. And one of them was a guy named Philip. He was his son. Well, Philip, like his father, wanted to make a name for himself. And so he said, I know what I'll do. I'll establish a place where I will honor Tiberius Caesar, but I'll get my name in there as well. So it will also call it Philippi. So Caesarea Philippi, the place where there was this monument to the Caesar, to Tiberius, who was the emperor at the time when our Lord was crucified. And here's his monument. And it's right there that Jesus says, so who do people say that the Son of Man is? Now remember, when Jesus uses the phrase Son of Man, he's referring back to the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, where all of the kingdoms of this world are in opposition to the kingdom of God. And then the Ancient of Days takes his seat on the throne, and one comes to him who is like a son of man, as Daniel 7 says, and to him is given a kingdom that will have eternal authority. And so here, Jesus saying, I am the fulfillment of Daniel 7, asks the apostles, so who do people say that I am? And we know the answers. You're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. You're Elijah or one of the other prophets, Jeremiah perhaps. And then that moment, when Jesus asks, so who do you say that I am? And Simon says, you are Christ. You are the Son of God. Now understand the beautiful thing that Jesus does in answering this man. Simon's father's name is actually John. And so when Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, doesn't Jesus know that his dad's name is John? Of course he does. But here's the point. He's not actually referring to Simon's biological father. Remember that Jesus says of himself that he is the sign of Jonah. And that as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so he would be in the belly of the earth, and then he would come back to life. And by calling Simon the son of Jonah, he's saying to Simon that you are my son. I am giving birth to you today in a particular way. And in Hebrew, the word Jonah means dove. Dove. The Holy Spirit, represented by the dove that comes down upon Jesus and declares that you are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. And now Jesus says to this man, you are going to be my son, and through you, the Holy Spirit will speak that you will declare that I am truly God. And that is the beautiful thing about our Catholic faith. You cannot have what's called Christology, that is, a right understanding of who Jesus is, without ecclesiology, a right understanding of the church. And notice what happens in this passage from Matthew 16. Having given the clearest statement of Christology, you're the Christ, the Son of God, what does Jesus do? He now establishes the church and says clearly, this is the nature of the church. Upon you, Peter, I will build my church. Upon this rock. Now keep that in mind. Where are they? At the foot of Mount Hermon, the biggest mountain in the whole of that part of the world. And here's this rocky outcrop where there is a temple to the emperor. And at that very place, Jesus says to Simon, "You are now the rock." Now there's another application of this. Some of you have been to Jerusalem, and you'll know that on where the Temple Mount used to be, there's now the Dome of the Rock. Why? Because there's a big rock there. And for the Jewish people, they understood that that rock was the rock that led down to Hades. And it was there that they built the temple. And now what is Jesus saying? It's no longer at the temple in Jerusalem on that rock that the new temple is going to be built. Remarkably, the new rock is going to be a person. The new rock is going to be you, Peter, and those who come after you in Petrine succession. And so in conclusion, let me share with you what this means for us. We are so grateful to be part of the Roman Catholic Church, where we have a magisterial voice, the Pope, who speaks not with his own authority, but with the authority of the Holy Spirit, the dove, because he is the son of Jonah. But here's the other thing. Having that confidence in who is governing the church invites us here at St. Peter's to be a kind of congregation where you have pastors like me. Pastors who, in reference to our first reading, are to live in such a way that we're not to serve under compulsion but willingly, as God would have us do it, that we would want to not lord it over those in our charge, but be examples to the flock. To be a priest in the church is to understand my relationship to Peter. And in understanding my relationship to Peter, I understand my relationship to you. That I am to embody in a particular way the living voice of the church, so that you can be inspired and renewed in your faith to live in such a way that we share now in the suffering of Jesus because we're in the world, but we also share in the glory that will be revealed, particularly in the Eucharist. Because what is the Eucharist? It's heaven come down to earth. And when we're learning to live this way, what does the local community become? It becomes a community of humble confidence, knowing that we are built on the rock, that we're built on the office of Peter, and that we can be the kind of community where people are discovering, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. Let me end with a little story. About 3 months ago, a woman came to see me. She'd never come to see me before, and she said she was kind of nervous coming to see a priest. But as she came into my office, she saw over in the corner that I have this big lamb called Agnes. She said, "Seeing that lamb put me at ease. I realized you'd be someone safe to talk to." I hope that's true. Because you need pastors who are safe to talk to. And you need to be in a church that's a church that you can trust. Well, on this day, when we celebrate the Petrine Church, may we celebrate the gift of Jesus Christ, who has built his church on a rock, as beautiful as Cascade, and as permanent too. May Peter pray for us, and all the holy popes.